Man, Judges chapter 5 is a song sung by Deborah and Barak about the events that we read about in chapter 4 last week. So it starts out in verse number 1, then sang Deborah and Barak, the son of Abinoam, on that day, saying. So this is a duet of sorts, and so there are probably parts of it being sung by Deborah, parts of it being sung by Barak. Maybe they both sing part of it together, who knows. But if you look at verse number 12, you can see this kind of back and forth where it says, awake, awake, Deborah. So that's obviously Barak is singing that. And then, awake, awake, utter a song. Arise, Barak, and lead thy captivity captive, thou son of Abinoam. So you can see where they're singing to each other. So this is a duet. And they're both singing their parts. Obviously, this is inspired by God. And so when we come to a chapter like this that's poetic, it's no less God's word than any other chapter. The poetry of the Bible is inspired by God. It's infallible. It's God's word. But obviously, when we read a poetic portion of Scripture, we have to realize that sometimes there are going to be things in it that are what we would probably call exaggerations, right? Hyperbole or things that are figurative or symbolic that are not to be taken super literally. So let's keep reading here. In verse number 2, it says, praise ye the Lord for the avenging of Israel when the people willingly offered themselves. And the first thing I want to point out here is that the Lord is praised and glorified and Israel is avenged when the people willingly offered themselves. God is always looking for people to choose to worship Him, not to worship Him because they're forced or serve Him and work for Him because they're forced to, but God loves the cheerful giver. The one who actually wants to volunteer and willingly offer themselves. That's why all throughout the Bible, there's talk about the free will offerings and people offering things to the Lord of their own free will. And if you think about our Christian lives, God gives us so much freedom. And once we are saved, it's not like we have to serve Him in order to stay saved. Because our salvation is by grace and it's purchased by the blood of Christ. And once we're saved, there's nothing we could ever do to lose our salvation. Nothing can separate us from the love of God. And a lot of people ask the question, well, then why would you even serve God then? You know, if you can't lose your salvation, if you're going to heaven no matter what, why serve God? Why even go to church? But here's the thing, that question isn't something that we sit around thinking about because we want to go to church, we want to serve the Lord, we love the Lord, and so we're here because we want to be here, not like, well, better go to church so I don't go to hell. We're not going to hell no matter what. So, we're here because we want to be here. We love the Lord. And so that question is coming from a heart of someone who doesn't really understand what it means to love Christ and to actually desire to serve Him. And so God wants us to willingly offer ourselves unto Him. And here's the thing, being saved is one thing. Being saved is easy. It's just believing in Christ. It's that easy. But obviously, there's more to the Christian life than just being saved because there are other choices and other things that are difficult where we have to make a decision whether we're going to make sacrifices for the kingdom of God. And God likes it when we make those sacrifices willingly because we want to. You know, why did God even put the tree of the knowledge of good and evil in the Garden of Eden in the first place? It was because He's giving man a choice, because He wants people to willingly choose Him and choose what's right. And I'm sure we can understand that as human beings. Would you want to be friends with people because they're forced to be your friend? Would you want to be married to someone who was forced to marry you and doesn't want to be in that marriage? Would you want people to come to your business or to your church or to your family and just they're doing everything for you because they have to? No, we want people to be friends with us because they love us. You know, I want people to listen to my preaching because they want to listen to my preaching. You know, you want people to patronize your business because they want to, or you want your family to spend time with you because they want to. This is a totally normal, natural feeling, and it comes from God because God feels the same way. You know, He wants people to willingly offer themselves and to choose to love Him and serve Him, not to just always be forced to do everything. He's most glorified when people do things willingly. And so the people willingly offered themselves. Praise God for the victory. You know, God is the one who did the work and made it happen, but thank God for the people that willingly offered themselves. It's both. You know, God works through people who willingly offer themselves. They offer themselves, and then God uses them. Humanly speaking, this battle that they won was not something that they really had a good chance of winning, humanly speaking. The enemy had much better equipment, weapons, better troops. They had the 900 iron chariots. Israel is clearly the underdog here, but because the people willingly offered themselves, they believed the promise of God, because God had prophesied and given the prophecy to Deborah and probably others that they were going to win. They trusted that. They had faith in that. They offered themselves, and God did a great work through them. God does the impossible through people who offer themselves to him. Just to show how much of an underdog Israel was, look at verse number 28. You know, this is the end of the song.